You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
Oh, I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
This is Total Talk Nonsense, episode 158.
That's right, John, 158.
It's tough talking with this shit in my mouth, you know what I'm saying?
You know, I was thinking last
week. Like a solid piece of gum.
Oh, your apparatus?
Yeah.
I was thinking, should we look for johnandscott.com and just drop the Total Talk Nonsense?
Really?
Yeah, why not?
You call the show John and Scott?
Yeah, the John and Scott show.
No, why? We've had TTN forever, man.
I don't know. But I'm,
God, geez,
you know why?
You know, you don't know anything about branding.
I don't, because I'm, I was in iTunes doing something. I can't remember what it was. And I found a podcast, and it said other podcasts that people subscribe to with this podcast.
Yeah.
And our name came up.
Oh,
and I was like,
nice.
Now, if I didn't know anything about this show, right? And
right.
I saw Total Talk Nonsense. What's the first thing that comes to my mind?
Excellent.
It's a complete waste of time.
Why?
Because it's totally talking about nonsense.
Ah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, it's just one interpretation.
Well, let's put a vote out for our four fans.
we have 12 fans,
oh, 12,
John.
Sorry.
12. And one of them's 17 years old.
We got more that are that age.
And he has the nads to call in.
That's right.
When I was 17,
That's
I
right.
wouldn't have called anybody.
I did. I called like a radio station. I called the radio station. I said, hey, can you play? Because every time I called like a request line, they'd say, yeah, we'll get to it. And about 4 months later, they played the song. So I thought I'd be clever and call and get on the air and say the song they were actually playing.
That is clever.
Yeah. So I said it, and the DJ's like, it's on right now. Put your face against the radio and listen to it. And he hangs up on me. And I wasn't on the air at all.
The first time I called in was Kevin Matthews, the game that he had. That
I was
we
on the
steal.
Kevin Matthews show.
Yeah, you told that story. We should steal that idea. Remember that game he had, the hardest, what would he call it?
Oh, yeah.
You can't win?
You can't win.
Yeah.
You cannot win at all.
Yeah, I called a couple times on that. You were on there because you went and played on
Kevin
Matthews,
the show.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first time I called in.
Actually, the guys I played with were quite talented, and if the one dude wasn't like suffering from like bipolarism, probably would have had something going.
Something.
But he got in like a fist fight with a guitar player.
Well, Brittany's bipolar. She's got it going
on. Broke Phil's bass. Broke Phil's bass in my basement.
Now, of course, since my first call with Kevin Matthews, I've gone on to speak with Sir Richard Dawkins.
Oh, yeah,
and
I remember
Penn
your
Gillette.
Call with Kevin Matthews. Like, I'm a little nervous. And,
I made a comment about Jim Shorts.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you got that on. I recorded that.
It's somewhere.
I
should be able to find it.
Yeah. Shit, I forgot about that, man. And a guy who was sort of on our show, Mike Skeens, right?
Right, Mike Bonk. Yeah.
Mike Bonk?
Mike Bonk.
Mike Skeens.
Oh, he called in Steve Dahl one time, too. And I had that on tape. And I sent it around the office so everybody can hear him.
I'm drinking some fighting cock.
Getting back to the show, John. What's with Andrew? Why haven't we received a minute? Did you receive a minute?
I don't know. No, I have not.
So we have a caller. Pat McGroin calls in. He says, I find the intro to Andrew's Minute more enjoyable
appealing.
Than Andrew's Minute. And Andrew's Minute gets his panties in a bunch, and he's putting polls out there.
Andrew's 10 seconds. Well, why doesn't he set us a 10 seconds then?
I don't
know.
And
then he has a poll. Yeah, you said poll, right?
I can't believe he just folded under that kind of pressure. I would come back with like an Andrew's 10 minute. and dedicate 9 to Pat McGroin if I was Andrew.
Well, you know how those Limeys are. They're either really, they're sensitive. They're either, they shut in, you know, when you criticize them, or they go way over the top like a Paulie B. And they dedicate like 4 shows to what you said. Like, mm-hmm. remember the whole date thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I'd like to see another Andrew's Minute, hear it.
Yeah. We're going to be doing some
quite funny
UK stories coming up.
That's right.
A lot of our listeners are from the UK. They've been turned on to us by Punky, of all people. Paulie B and Tony Hearn. There you have it. A lot of UK listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Remember that Kool-Aid? Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give you a quote, John. You got to tell me who said it. In light of today's current, what's going on in politics, tell me who said this. If you can, let me read this quote. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Owners of capital will stimulate working class to buy more and more of expensive goods, houses, and technology, pushing them to take more and more expensive credits until their debt becomes unbearable. The unpaid debt will lead to bankruptcy of banks, which will have to be nationalized, and state will have to take the road, which will eventually lead to communism. Who said that, John?
Boehner?
Karl Marx said that.
Karl Marx.
In 1867, he said that.
Summarize that.
1867. He's just saying that the capitalism pushes product, and it's going to give people credit to push that product. But the people aren't going to be in control.
It's going to lead to communism.
And what they're going to do is it's going to lead to the bankruptcy of banks, which will have to be nationalized, and the state will have to take the road, which will eventually lead to communism. That was Karl Marx, 1867. You know, as I'm reading this right now, because I cut and pasted it, you know, off the web there.
Fucking thing sucks!
Into my little text file. Yeah. I wonder if it's all BS, you know?
What?
This whole statement by Karl Marx, 1867. I wonder if you went to Snopes.com and it said, yeah, the thing that Karl Marx supposedly said about bankruptcy of banks, yeah, that's all BS.
Well, let's check.
Possibly. You know, as I'm reading it right now, it just dawned on me.
You don't vet your stuff, man.
I mean, this is too Nostradamus-like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I didn't, you know, I don't have time to vet. I really didn't have a lot of time at all this week to do anything. Which reminds me, next show we got to do our 2008 year end, John, we revisit Pat Robertson's predictions, Sylvia Brown's predictions. We talk about some of the highlights and lowlights of 2008.
Yeah.
One other interesting thing, John. 1 million seconds comes out to about 11 and a half days. You got that? 1 million seconds.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
A billion is 32 years.
Wow, that seems, you know, what a difference, right?
You know how much a trillion seconds is?
No.
32,000 years.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So when you think about our national debt, yeah. Yeah. So if we paid off a dollar every second, it would take us 32,000 years to pay off $1 trillion dollars. Isn't that great?
Yeah. What is the name of that? What you cut and pasted?
The name of it? I don't know what the name of it is.
Is there a title?
There's really no title. It's Karl Marx's supposedly. He said it in 1867. Owners of capital will stimulate working class to buy more and more of expensive goods, pushing them to take more and more expensive credits until their debt becomes unbearable.
Yeah.
Unpaid debt will lead to bankruptcy, which will have to be nationalized, and the state will have to take the road, which will eventually lead to communism. You pinko.
You pinko. Yeah, I can't find anything so far.
Maybe he really said it. Who knows?
Maybe.
I don't know. He said a lot of things, and he wrote a lot of things, John. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
Karl Marx.
He said and wrote.
He's got a cool
lot.
Name, too. Karl Marx. Kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah. But I don't know why that's cool.
Like an Eric Tomorrow, Karl Marx. Eric Tomorrow.
Nice. I got nothing, man. I'm pulling up nothing.
Oh, here's another miscellaneous story I ran across. I found this amazing, John. Amazing. They did a study, or not a study, they did a poll of 10,000 people. A Harris interactive poll, 10,000 people. Ages 20 to 54 who got married in 2006 or 2007. Guess how many percent met online, John?
50?
Almost 20%.
Oh.
So almost 20%, and that's the most. The highest. Oh, my pen stopped working. That really pisses me off. So that's the most. 20% met online. 17% made their connection through friends. Another 17 met their spouse at work. Another 8 met somebody at school. Another 8% at a party or social gathering.
Wow.
But 20%, it's the number one way that people in 2006 and 7, in this poll anyway, met their spouse online, John.
And how's that working out, does it say?
It doesn't say how it's working out, but I mean, I think it really makes a statement about...
how powerful the internet's.
Yeah, and not how powerful... Well, I guess that's a correct statement, how powerful it is, but what is it going to do to us as social creatures is what I want to know. And I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about in 10 years. I'm talking about like in 1,000 years, in 1,000,000 years, if we're still around. What's going to happen to like sexual attractiveness? Will it completely go away from an evolutionary perspective? Because if more and more people are meeting online, I would think that what attracts them to each other is their intellect and what they share in common, right? So the physical thing, I would assume, comes later. But I don't know. I have no idea. Do these match.com, do you look at the photo first and then you look at the profile? Who knows? I don't know. And are the photos airbrushed or what? You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right. We were having lunch the other yesterday at Harry Carey's, and there was a couple behind us on a blind date.
How do you know they were saying? I've never been on a blind date before.
Yeah, the wife overheard the conversation. And I heard the chick, I heard her as she was walking into the building. Do you have valet parking? No. Not in the daytime, you nut.
So how was it going, the date?
Then I was listening and I heard her say, so do you have any stocks?
That's a good question. I mean, if you're looking to build a family unit.
I do. And then I heard one of his only vice is he likes to smoke occasionally. His only vice.
Yeah.
And then something about masturbation.
That means like every day, like 3 packs a day.
Yeah.
It's my only vice.
Yeah. Exactly.
So anything happened to you this week, John?
I was sick Thursday, I think. Woke up with... Yeah, we did our little thing on, what, Wednesday?
Yeah, our inaugural special on Wednesday.
So, and then you said your wife had some stomach issues or something.
Yes.
And I woke up... It woke me up at 5 in the morning with this just deep... intestinal cramping, and it was like my ass was vomiting for a half hour straight.
Well, how could that transfer from my wife to you? You think we should like stop kissing before we start
probably
the show?
probably.
Okay,
but at least, you know, mouth to ass, you know, because that's probably where it happened.
That
you know
is so vile.
So, so I was hurting. I was down all day. And I'm still, to this day, it's not right, you know. It's something's going on. I'm having, I told you guys, you know, I ate something and then all of a sudden, all this noise starts happening. And, so I got a pretty tough stomach, though. I mean, I can handle some major issues. So I don't really get the stomach flu or anything like that too often. So maybe it was a foodborne thing. And I didn't have any fever. So, what are you going to do? And,
you're going to blow ass. That's what you're going to do.
That's about it. You know, but the thing was, I couldn't go to work because it's a 40-minute drive.
Right, and the blowing of ass could happen at any moment.
At any moment. I mean, I told the story where I was sleeping, and there was a blast line from my ass in the bed when I was sleeping. I mean, it shot me out of bed that one time. So, you know, it could happen at any time. I have no control over that.
None.
And there's nowhere to pull over, and it's very cold. And I'm not going to be hanging my ass out the side of the car.
Yeah, it reminds me of
not right.
The Bucket List. There's like one good line in that movie. It's about two old guys that are going to die, so they try to, you know, live the most of every day that they can. And yeah. Jack Nicholson comes out, and he says, when you get older... And he gives three pieces of advice. I can't remember the first one. The second one is never waste an erection. And number three is you can no longer trust a fart.
When you get old?
Yeah.
Right.
I can't wait for that. That's going to be great, isn't it?
I'm starting to think that, you know, because when that happens, you're like, okay, when is it okay to trust it? You know what I'm saying? So you have that bout of intestinal illness, and then you have a couple days afterwards like,
where you're still developing that trust between your ass
and your brain, your brain. So you're like, should I just, you know, and then you push it out a little bit and you're like, is it moist? No. Oh, it's fucked up. Gotta go home.
You know, that's an excellent point you make about the moistness.
because it's a little slimy, you know, and you're like, was it fart or was it shart?
We talk about neurons, John, right? when we talk about the sense of touch,
yeah.
Where do you think most of them are located?
The neurons or the sense of touch?
The sense of touch and then the neurons that send that touch back to the brain.
I don't know.
I would say like in your fingertips, your hands, you know, maybe the groin area, you know. But I never thought of the asshole that way.
Right.
Until you mentioned that you can sense... the quality, not the quality, but the construct, not the construction, but the byproduct of a of gas.
Well, yeah, is
passing out your ass. So there must be a
structure.
Very
I
dense,
think is correct.
A very dense.
Is it matter? Is it gas? Is it
matter, gas, or moist?
Matter is it gas? Liquid or solid.
Or a combination of all
of the above.
Or a combination, yeah.
Yeah.
And your ass can tell your brain that. It can say, oh, yeah.
Yeah, stop right
don't
now.
Don't trust it yet.
Don't, not yet.
Right.
Not but ready.
Apparently, when you reach a certain age, you can no longer trust it. No matter what your bowel movements are like, you can no longer trust a fart, which I just... I'm really questioning, do I want to live that long?
Can you do the piss and fart at the same time?
Yeah, probably.
You haven't tried it?
No, but I probably could. I don't see why not.
You got to try it, man. It's great.
All right. That'll be my homework for 159.
For 159, please report on your...
So we told this very elaborate shit story, but we didn't have the shit bumper.
I don't
bumper.
Know where it is, man.
It's the greatest bumper ever put together ever.
Is it?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
Is that where we would just sing along to it? I can't remember. We'd have to remember the lyrics.
No, that's...
That's Shit or Shinola. I think it was like to a Justin Timberlake song, and we'd sing along with it.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the lyrics. Maybe they'd come back to me. Oh, that's when Steve from the Spasmatic stole our idea. I'm ready. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm bringing poop it back.
Yep.
It's falling out my crack.
Yep.
I'm talking duty, duty.
Yep.
Some people call it poopy.
Yep.
Tickets to the bridge.
Yeah, I didn't remember all the lyrics. Yeah. I had to make some up.
Yeah,
but,
I was
you know,
a little confused.
Works.
I was going to say the right ones, and then
what are the right ones? Do you remember them?
Yeah, I wrote them down here. I'll share them with you later. Yeah.
Anything else happen to you this week? Anything? Anything?
No, but we had. Let's see. Friday was the gig. Rick had a gig.
Rick had a gig.
We were
yeah.
supposed to go to. And I think I had a little too much to drink or something.
Yeah,
I
wish I recorded that call.
Why?
That was, it was good. What? It was good, man. Because you told me you had too much to drink.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, I probably would have guessed that you had too much to drink if
Why?
You didn't tell me.
Really?
Pardon me. Yeah, because you were like, hey, man. Yes. we went to
Shut up.
Show,
I was
man. Yeah. You see, are you ready, man? Are we gonna go? Hey, I had too much
that.
To drink.
I wasn't that bad. I'll tell you though, man, there's something about those large margaritas, and even the wife was like, whoa. There was a lot in those
Whoa.
Things.
Whoa. Well, and you're sitting down with the owner of the place, right?
Yeah.
So they probably double
yeah,
up.
They cranked it up, man. I just had two. And the wife's like, look, you see, we're done with our meal, and I still have only taken two sips out of mine. I don't gulp mine down like you do. I was thirsty. They didn't bring me any water. So I was just, I chugged them.
Now, the good news
is. I just
is,
chugged them.
This is the neighbor that we gave the snowblower
yeah.
to. And then I got a bottle of Knob Creek. And
yeah.
then the snowblower didn't work. And I was all yeah. bent out of shape. But he has a nephew or something, you said, right?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
came. He took it apart. And it was a fuel line.
He was there. He was there.
Oh, he was at
yeah.
the dinner.
Yeah. He was serving us.
Oh, he was working.
Yeah. And he's
right.
like, it was no big deal. I go, what'd you do? He says, well, he just took the whole thing apart, found that the fuel pump itself, and this is what happens, Scott, when you run something out of gas and then you just never use it again.
Well, in 2 years. I ran out of gas, and then for 2 years it sat there.
Well, there's movable parts.
Movable.
That, yeah. Yeah. That seat a certain way, and they'll stick. After a while, because they don't have any lubrication.
Yes.
So, because they're not moving. So, what happened was a fuel pump was closed, and they got it free, and then ran it a little bit, and now it's all, they lubed it up. And,
oh, so they didn't have to replace any
no,
parts.
No, they didn't, nothing.
I see.
Didn't have to do anything.
Very good. That's outstanding.
Yeah.
Watch, it'll never
so
snow again in Chicago.
So, well, that's what happened to me when I bought mine. I bought mine, and it was snowing, and they said we're going to get like 14 inches. And so I had Joe go with me to the Home Depot, and I said, hey, dude, I need you to help me. You can have my old snowblower. I got this 80-foot driveway I got to do, so I need a 8-horsepower. So we go to the place. The guy's like, well, you know, we could sell it to you, but you got to assemble it. I'm like, I'll take the one that's on the floor. Yeah, I don't know. Get your manager over here right now. Okay. Brings him over. I'm like, I want this one right here. Yeah, but we could assemble it for you. You know, it's for $25 more. I go, this one is assembled. Assemble another one and put it on the floor.
You know, TP works at Home Depot.
Yeah, I think it was him I was talking yeah. to. So the guy, oh, yeah, that makes sense, yeah. And I go, look, it's even scratched, you know. You should take some off it for that. He goes, well, I'll tell you what. We'll give it to you. We'll take 10% off, plus won't charge you for assembly. Oh, thanks.
Nice.
So we throw it in my car, bring it home. It snowed maybe 2 inches. And that's all it snowed the rest of the year. That
there
was
you
it.
Have it.
And
yeah.
I did it with a shovel. So then the next year, I had it, and I go to start it, and one of the kids must have put put a nail in it or something, or I don't know what. The piece of metal magically fell in through those little slots at the top there where you pull start it. And I start it, and click, 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 click. There's shit flying around in there. Take it to this place, and they look at it and go, yeah, it's fucked up, man. You got a big chunk of metal in there. And they pull it out, and it's something. I think one of the kids went and thought it was fun. Put a nickel in there or something. I don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out it was warranty.
Nice.
They gave me a new engine and everything.
Out of sight.
So I love that thing. That thing runs great. And now the one that you gave to the neighbors, they say it runs great. They can't wait for the next snow. They're so excited.
Well, good. I hope we get like 60 inches, John. 60.
Yeah.
Speaking of the kids that you're having issues, you know, they're messing your snowblower up.
Yeah.
My son's going through this phase, and I hope it's just a phase.
Yeah.
Everything he touches is ruined. So my daughter gets this game. She's really into this game. It's like a puzzle game. And you have a certain amount of time. I don't know if there's a certain amount of time, but you see how much time it takes you to solve this puzzle, and she's getting better and better. He walks over. He grabs like three of the pieces.
Yeah.
And he shoves them down our central vac.
Oh.
What are you doing? I mean, okay, the first one, I kind of understand that, right? The first one? Yeah, I just wanted to see what would happen. But then, okay, you saw what happened. Now you take two more and you shove them down there. So now I haven't done this yet, but I got to go downstairs and empty the thing.
Yeah, if it doesn't get stuck.
Yeah, and I gotta dig through dog hair and all the shit that I vacuum up to find these things, because the puzzle doesn't work without these three pieces.
Oh, just wait. You're going to develop names for him that are code for stupid ass.
When does this stop? Does it, like, your son is how old now? Almost 10?
Nathan's never done anything like
that. He's never done.
No.
What about your daughter?
She does some stupid stuff, but nothing to that degree. We have friends who bring their kids over that are like that. I mean, I bought this little, I thought, oh, these would be cool. I'll start buying them every year. They're like little plug-in, you know, like Christmas cities and stuff, and they have skaters going around.
Little magnet things, right?
Yeah, stuff like that. Well, this one was a Halloween one. It was like a big old battleship or big old rickety old ship with skeleton pirates and stuff, and all these lights and mist would come out of it. And this kid walks right up and starts snapping off the skeletons. I mean, he busted all of them off.
Whose kid was that?
What are you doing? I want to play with them. I want to play with them. Well, the reason why they're stuck on there is they're supposed to fucking stay on there.
Well, the other thing my son did today.
He's like Bam Bam, man. He just comes over and.
He was
real little, though. He's like your son's age. I don't think he does stuff like that anymore, but.
Well, I'll have to ask. Because is this a phase? My son's going to be 5 next month.
Yeah, it's a phase. I mean, they test you. They want to do stuff. Like, the only thing I saw Nathan really, and I don't know, maybe our friends could tell us that, oh, we never told you what Nathan did. Like, he took a shit in the corner of our house or something. You know, I don't know. But once I saw, I'm standing there and I see him playing by the outlet. And I'm looking at him, and I see him pull this shiny metal sword, and he sticks it right into the outlet.
Sword.
And I'm like, what are you doing? And he instantly pulls it out and starts bawling. And I grab it, and it's plastic.
Nice.
Now, I'm told that nothing would have happened to him anyway, because alternating current... He would have to grab it with both hands and run the current through his body.
Well, does plastic even conduct electricity?
No, it doesn't. But I'm saying if it was metal, I said it was shiny, like metal.
I see, yes.
I thought it was metal.
You thought it was, yes.
Yeah. But you'll be coming up with names, you know. Doofus. Hello, are your brains in your butt? Do you sit on them every day?
Well, the other thing he did today is he was cleaning. You know, I told him to clean. So he's picking stuff up, and he brings something over to me, and he's like, here, this is yours. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, what is it? This looks familiar. What is this? This looks so familiar. And then my wife said, oh, that's part of the camera stand. So you know the little tripod?
Yeah.
He managed to take the whole thing apart, and he's handing me pieces of it. Yeah, so now I'm the guy who has to put it back together, and there's a nut that's missing. So
yeah,
it's not completely useless, but it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, wait till it's something that you really, really need.
Yeah,
and it's like, God damn it!
And so when I think about that, and I think about all the dumbass things I did when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost killed myself like 4 times because I'm so dumb. Is he going to be the same? I mean, is he going to be more reckless than
I
am?
That's what kids do, man. I mean, they do shit to drive you insane.
Well, I think about it.
That's part of their discovery of stuff.
Well, no, I'm thinking more of in a gender way because my daughter never exhibited this type of behavior. And the stuff that I did that I almost killed myself,
yeah.
I can't imagine a woman doing this or a girl or an adolescent doing the stuff that I did. But then I think it's really a miracle that, again, I'm extrapolating. I'm thinking that all guys did the stupid things that I do. I mean, did you ever almost kill yourself because of a dumb idea?
Oh, yeah. I went, you know how the old slides when you were a kid? Had poles that ran from the top of the slide to the ground, and you could go down them like Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're wearing like mittens that are made out of they're you know, yarn, so they're the old yarn mittens. They're, I don't know what you call it, but you have no grip, you know, and it's
they're
really
gay.
Slippery.
That's what you call it.
Not back then. They used to clip onto your wrist,
right.
You know?
That's ultra
when
gay.
When you're 8. Shut up, you dork.
Yarn mittens that you clip
whatever.
On.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever, mister. I wear shorts and
That's
combat
queer.
Boots with my long coat and my knit cap that's really long.
Hey, man.
With the little ball at the end.
Hey, man. I was, what do they call those Columbine kids? They call them?
Yeah, whatever. Emo? I don't know.
Not emo. Maybe.
Trench coat?
Trench coat. Yeah. I was trench coat way before they were.
Yeah, before it was even stupid.
Right.
So anyway, what I did was instead of going down the traditional Batman way, I went head first.
Oh, nice.
I thought that would be cooler.
That is cool.
And I literally hit the ground faster than the speed of light with my head. And it knocked me out. And I remember waking up in the nurse's office with my head was bleeding. And they took me to the hospital and I had like 8 stitches.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. I've done a couple of those. Come home. Kid hit me over the head with a steel flashlight.
Ow.
And that was 8 stitches. I got a bunch of scars. That's why I don't shave my head. I got about 9 scars on my head.
Yeah, see, mine are near death, but I never... the one time I got injured, I was playing baseball. I was running back for a pop fly. You know, you play fast pitch on the...
Yeah.
And I'm running. I catch the ball. I'm like full speed. I catch the ball.
Into a dream,
I
right?
turn around, and I smack right into the monkey bars.
Oh, that's great.
I knock myself out.
Oh.
The kids I was playing with picked me up, and they like sat me up. And they were talking to me for like 5 minutes trying to figure out what to do. And I finally came to, which they were relieved by. And then I had this big knot on my head.
Oh, dude.
But the other thing we used to do is when I went to grammar school, we would, at recess, if there was a nice basketball, we would kick it on the roof. And then, like, on the weekend, we'd come and climb on the roof and get the ball.
Oh, Jesus. What a fucking hooligan. Wait till your son's doing that. You got to go to school.
Yeah, but I still consider my... I mean, that's not ethical. It's immoral,
yeah, okay,
right?
Whatever.
The whole deal.
Beating up on 15-year-olds, calling them faggots.
But I didn't think that was
You're
so
still
bad.
A deviant.
You know? Would I do it today? Probably not, because I couldn't climb on the roof.
I told my kids a story, because they know that I've been kicked out of a lot of schools. And the kids had friends over today. So my son had a friend over, my daughter had a friend over. And my daughter's in junior high, as is her friend. And they're going to the same junior high I was going to till I got kicked out. And they said, well, why'd you get kicked out, Dad? And I said, well, I had to go to special ed at another school. Why? I had behavioral issues. Well, what'd you do? I took the teacher's coffee pot and threw it out the window.
Yeah, if she listened to the show, she would know that because you told that story. Yeah. That's good, man. I like that story. Right in front of them.
Right in front of them, man. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean coffee? I go, back in those days, it was a pot that you plugged in to keep the coffee warm. I don't think it made the coffee. It just kept it warm. I walked over, unplugged it, opened the window, threw it right out. Whoa.
All right, so getting back
you
to
were
my
really
story.
Bad, Dad.
Kick the ball on the roof, come on the weekend. The grammar school I went to was three stories.
Yeah.
So you'd climb up on the first story roof, and then you could make your way to the second and then the third story. So we're up on the third story roof, me and this other guy, the kid I used to hang around with.
Yeah.
We grab the ball, we throw it down. Now it's time to get off the roof, and we decide we're going to race, right? We're going to race. Who can get down fastest? So we're on the third floor roof. So I'm running, he's running.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to, like, just like in the movies, I'm going to run to the ledge, and then I'm going to jump from the third floor to, like, the second floor roof, right?
Genius. That's fucking genius.
So I get to the ledge, but I, like, I can't remember when I exactly remembered that where I was jumping is where one of the doors was to go into the school. So because of that, where I was jumping, it was like a three-flight drop to the, not to the floor, but to stairs, because there were stairs going downstairs.
Oh,
so
no.
It would have been like a four-story drop onto stairs. And even before this, I was afraid of heights.
Oh,
so I got up on the ledge, and I was doing one of those things where your arms are, like, rotating, you know, like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I just caught myself to get back off the roof.
Oh, dude.
And then
you'd have been dead.
You should have seen me trying to get down from the roof after that. I mean, I was like, I was very proud that I didn't wet myself.
You didn't soil your pants.
I did not soil or wet myself.
Oh my God, it probably
took me 10 times longer to get off the roof than it did to get on the roof. Yeah. So that was the worst one. And there's like three or four other stories like that where I did something like totally ridiculous and almost killed myself. One of them, I was at U of I and I had to take a leak. This is like when I'm 20, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when does it end? So I see some bushes by an apartment building. So I figure I'm gonna show off, you know, for my friends. I'm gonna run and I'm gonna jump over the bushes. I'm gonna clear the bushes, land, and then I'll pee and then I'll come back, right?
Yeah.
So I go and I run and I jump over the bushes and there's it goes into a parking garage. So there's like an underground parking garage. There was another like 30-foot drop. There happened to be like a 8-inch ledge for some reason.
Oh my God.
And I just caught the 8-inch ledge. So I jumped, like there's this cement barrier which I used to hurdle. Like a pommel horse, kind of a mount on a pommel horse, you know, kind of hurdle over it. And I go over the bushes, and then I notice that there's no ground like I thought there would be. And I slammed into this 8-inch ledge, and I managed to hang on before dropping another, you know, how many feet. Now it's funny, you know, but the stupidity.
Right.
of that kind of shit. And that's what I fear for my son. If he's shoving shit in vacuum cleaners and taking stuff apart now and...
Oh, man. Well, I used to, like, do stuff like try and fix TVs, you know, when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And have them all apart, but leave them plugged in. Me and my buddy Joe. And a couple of times I grabbed onto the yoke where the television has the metal windings.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, nearly shit myself and launched through the fucking window. Yeah, because you lock up, man. Yeah. We used to do fun stuff with, like, my buddy, his dad worked for a bank. And his dad used to get samples. He'd give loans to companies. And one of the companies he gave a loan to was Rice CB. You remember the CBs, Citizens Band Radio?
Yeah, yeah. No doubt.
And he
Breaker
got a,
1-9. Breaker 1-9.
He got a base station. And he decided to... His dad took the power supply, you know, the big giant wall wart, that big box that plugs into the wall. Well, my buddy Joe jury-rigged one up, plugged it in, and then he didn't have...
What did you say? You say jury-rigged?
Jury-rigged, yeah.
Jury?
Yeah.
Isn't it Jerry?
Jerry-rigged. I don't know.
It's not jury, man. Like a jury? Like 12 men jury?
Yeah.
No, it's not jury.
Okay,
rigged.
Jerry, whatever.
Jerry
who? Jerry who?
I don't know. The guy who rigs stuff badly. Oh, Jerry rigged him.
It could be jury.
No, juries
whatever,
don't rig.
Jerry rigged. Whatever you say, okay? So he doesn't have an antenna, so he runs a bare wire all the way up to the television antenna. And he thinks, okay, dude, we're going to do this. It's going to be great. You know, my dad doesn't know anything. And he starts going, 10-4, 10-1-9, breaker. And it's coming through the television the whole time. His dad's watching the DePaul game. All I see is, when we're in like this little wine cellar room, all I see is the door fly open. And he says to me, John, it's time for you to go.
John.
And as I'm walking out, I see him close the door, and I just hear a scuffle and a lot of yelling.
Nice.
A lot of... Yeah.
Nice.
He got the shit kicked out of him that day. I heard a lot of... Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned the...
But I never... I don't think I ever did anything that... I never broke anything. My thumb, but that was punching some kid in school. Broke it.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned being electrocuted.
But that's it. Yeah, that's about it.
Fortunately for me, I had uncles, right? One uncle's 12 years older than me.
Yeah, smoke this.
Yeah, so they wanted me to smoke pot. They would call me in and say, hey, you want to see a match burn twice? And I'd be like, yeah.
And they'd show me that.
You know what that is?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so for our listeners, if you don't know what that is, you want to see a match burn twice, that's you light it, you blow it out, and then you put it on the person's skin that wants to see it burn twice, and you burn them, right? So
the match burns, and then it burns you.
Right. So my uncle pulled that shit on me. Like, he'd always be fucking around with me like that. There's some home movies with him fucking around with me like that. And, you know, do you think the person filming would stop filming and say, hey, what are you doing? No, they just keep filming.
Do it again, man. Do it again. Tase
them. Oh, this is the same uncle that taught me to draw the finger that I got in trouble for when I drew him on the school bus. But I remember, so my other uncle had a farm. So we're at this cattle farm, and they have the... the fencing with the electrical wire,
yeah.
You know, so so they charge this wire, so
for the cows.
So the cows, so they stay in where they're supposed to stay. And my uncle, I was like, we're out, you know. I'm like, geez, I got to take a leak. We're out on the farm. I don't know what we're doing. He's like, oh, come here. You got to pee over here. What do you mean I got to pee? Yeah, you got to pee right here. See this wire right here? Yeah, you're supposed to pee on that, and that kind of like absorbs the urine. I'm like, what? Come on, that doesn't sound right. I'm like 6 or 7 years old. And because of the prior experience with the match burn twice,
yeah,
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
You see, so if he had not done the match burn twice, I would have peed on this wire, and who knows what would have happened then.
You'd have
been
fine.
Would I have been?
Yeah, Mythbusters already busted that myth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because your pee breaks up in stream. It doesn't stay in a single stream.
Even when you're 6 years old?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I peed next to my son. We went to the movies today, and we go to pee, right? He whips it out, and, I mean, this thing's like a rocket.
He's blasting, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm, you know.
It's a much smaller hole.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
Yeah, that's your prostate.
And then it kind of dribbles out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he was, it was like shooting off the back and splashing all over the bathroom.
That's, you know, that's a much smaller hole. There's a lot of pressure there.
But it's not one stream, though. It breaks up.
No, it like breaks up. Unless you get really close.
Well, wait a minute. Did they get a young kid to do the test?
No.
Or did they, were the old men doing the test?
Yeah, let's do a Mythbusters and put a little boy.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that the son's got the power and the volume to make the connection. We're like a Adam or whoever the other guy is.
Right into him, because they revisit myths that that people say, hey, you didn't check this, you didn't check that.
We'll have to write in, have him have a six-year-old
do
it.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, on Mythbusters, those guys peed on electrical wire?
Yeah, Adam did.
Was he afraid?
No.
Before he did it?
Yeah, of course he was, but he did it in the name of science in front of everybody. Just whipped it out.
It's out of sight, John. Out of sight.
Yeah.
All right, so it's coming up, John. We got some religion. We got some science.
Yeah.
We got movies. We got celebrity. We got email. And, of course, we got politics.
We got to take a break, too.
Do we?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah, we've been on for 46 minutes.
We have?
Yeah.
We really haven't talked about anything, have we?
I know. Well, you keep talking.
That's total talk nonsense for
keep
you.
Keep talking. I'm like, okay, let's move along. No, let me finish my story.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
About my basketball on the roof.
That's a good story.
Yeah. It's good. It's good.
It's good. It's good. It's good.
So we got two cuts here from practice. One of them is phenomenal, man. I mean,
you're not going to play that one, are you?
We nail Aerosmith.
Oh, come on.
Come on. What do you mean, come on? It's great.
Oh, jeez.
You get listen to the progression.
Right, let's present it that way.
Well,
you're going to hear...
You play a great bass solo through about the whole, every verse.
You're going to hear Aerosmith. Where I really don't know what I'm doing yet. And then at some point when I do know what I'm doing, we'll hear Aerosmith again, and we will hear the progression, the evolution, if you will.
Of an Aerosmith.
Of a bass player.
It's great, man. It's fan-fucking-tastic, man. Everybody can appreciate.
I can't wait.
everybody can appreciate what bands got to go through to nail it. You know what I'm saying?
Right, I hear that.
And this is the first time we actually tried playing it through all the way.
It would have helped if I knew what I was playing.
Well, I didn't know what I was playing either. So here it is, Sweet Emotion, then If I Needed Someone, AKC, the Kangaroo Court, John and Scott. We'll be right back. Good old practice tunage.
Right on. So I look forward to hearing the
what?
Improved Sweet Emotion.
Yeah.
From this Thursday, coming up this Thursday, John.
I thought it was great. I mean, you covered every note on the bass.
Yeah.
You covered every note. I don't think you missed a single note.
I don't think I did either.
I mean, a single note is on the bass neck itself.
Right.
The problem is
I couldn't figure out which one it was supposed to be.
Well, I think you played them all, just not in the right order. But I fucked up in there too, man. That is band practice, man.
That's
sometimes
practice.
You hit it, sometimes you don't.
That's right.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't, you know.
One thing I forgot to mention. I will not be drinking for the month of February.
Why?
No alcohol.
Study?
Request from my wife. I think she thinks that I may be an alcoholic. So she challenged me to stop drinking. So I could have started yesterday.
Okay.
Wait
a minute.
But I have had a couple of drinks since then. So I figure... let's make it February.
Let's say you are an alcoholic.
Yes.
So if you go for a whole month,
yes,
then you're allowed to start drinking again after that?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So what's to prove that you're not an alcoholic, that you could abstain from it for 1 month?
Yeah, I would think that if I can do that, then I'm not an alcoholic.
Okay, all alcoholics are able to abstain for 1 month if they know that they could get back to it.
So what you're saying is what I need to do is abstain.
When you're an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic for the rest of your life. So you have to stop forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm an alcoholic, John?
No, I don't think so. No.
I don't think so either.
Do you drink at work? Do you drink before work?
No. No.
Do you drink at lunch?
I drink
lunch?
Socially.
You drink after.
I like to have a glass of wine, family night, you know, after I get the kids to bed. Practice.
Do you drink to forget?
No, Scott? I don't. But when I wasn't feeling well, I remember that I did come to practice and I did not partake.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if I was an alcoholic, I would have, no matter what I felt like, I would be having alcohol, you know? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you know, there's theories that, oh, you're a weekend alcoholic or, you know, you can't wait for the drink, so you abstain all the way until, oh, I'm at home, I'm safe, now I can really pound it and get all juiced up.
I don't think I really pound it, you know, who do I know? Maybe I'm in denial, you know what I'm saying?
And it's not just a river in Egypt either.
That's right. It's not. All right, John.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know.
You're not.
I don't know. But I mean, is it affecting your life somehow, or is it just an observation?
It's just an observation.
You're drinking too much. I am, you know.
Well, you know, she does have an uncle. Her uncle, Lou.
Yeah.
And apparently this guy, when he comes over for Thanksgiving or Christmas, he'll just not stop drinking. He shows up, he starts drinking. In one evening, he'll drink 3 bottles of wine.
Yeah. And then he pisses on the couch.
No, it really has no effect on him whatsoever. Oh. And then the next day, he'll drink maybe a case of beer.
Yeah.
And I think that...
it's quite a bit.
Maybe I'm turning into Uncle Lou. Maybe that's what she's thinking. I don't know.
Well, I had a girlfriend. Your wife would know her. Lived right around the corner from her.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know.
Dawn.
Yeah.
Bonk!
Yeah.
Bonk!
Bonk!
So, she had an uncle that was a really bad alcoholic. I mean, they had to go to the family alcohol meetings. Because he nearly killed someone or hit a telephone pole at like 100 miles an hour, survived. But, you know, it was like, what if it was somebody else, you know, you hit and all that stuff?
Yeah, what if it wasn't a telephone pole? What if it was a person?
It hit the whole family really hard. And, you know, I would work late and go to this bar called the Munich Inn and have a couple of beers. Now, a couple, I mean like two, and go, I got to go. We're going out somewhere. I'd get there. You've been drinking, haven't you? You know, I really don't appreciate that. And I'd be like, what? What did I do?
Is that what broke you guys up?
Well, I mean, yeah, there was a myriad.
So if it
of
wasn't
things.
For that uncle... it could be
it's still
John and Dawn.
No,
and
bonk
is
no,
what you're saying.
No. A bonk. You do have a problem, my friend. Yeah, you better dry out. No,
maybe I should.
No. No, she liked John Denver. I liked Iron Maiden. You know, I mean, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. You fight over the radio station. I have to hear another Lee fucking Greenwood in the car. Forget it.
I hear that.
Her dad really liked me, though.
Well, the other, you know, you mentioned that about the guys completely reckless, and one of my uncle, Maybe he's an alcoholic, maybe he's not. But when he drinks too much, he gets really fucking surly, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think I'm like that when I've had too much. I'm more joyful, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
No? Do I get surly?
If we're at practice and you start getting called out for parts you're not playing right, you start getting a little irritated.
Yeah, here's where the irritation comes from, though. We know how many songs now? 200 songs?
Yeah.
I get no advance warning of what we're going to cover at practice. So Rick can practice for a week on 5 songs that we haven't done in a year, and I'm supposed to know them, you know? That's what I get irritated
Understood.
About.
Understood. But if you're at the top of your game and you come in, but you come in after one bottle of wine and then you start firing down a couple of Lafroigs.
Lafroig.
And you can't even follow along. Now, if you're at the top of your game, you just came out, you just had a nice meal, you're ready to practice. I mean, you're going to catch up to it really quick. You're going to be like, okay, yeah, I got that. Okay, boom, 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 boom.
Right.
But then when you're a couple of Lafroigs in after a full bottle of wine and you tell us, I just want to let you know I had a bottle of wine before I came.
So you're making the case that I am an alcoholic. That's what you're making a case for.
No, I'm not making that case at all.
I see. Very good.
If you want to keep the peace, though, you might have to dry out a little bit.
Dry out? Keep the peace with the band or the wife?
The wife. We don't care. It's entertaining. Watch you get all worked up, and then you shut down. You just kind of stare at us like you're going to kill us any minute.
Does it work?
No.
Oh.
No.
Maybe I'll try something else next time. Maybe I'll run in the in another room and put a sock on and come out, see if that works.
Oh, that would be great. A sock on your mouth?
Even better. Instead of a sock, one of these see-through plastic cups. That would be good,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Jockey. Yeah.
Come on! Who docks?
Yeah. Yeah, see.
All right, man. Turning to religious news. Religious news. I don't know if you know this, John, but the Vatican on Saturday, that's just yesterday, attacked U.S. President Barack Obama for arrogance.
For saying non-believers in his speech?
No. For overturning a ban on state funding for family planning groups that carry out or facilitate abortions overseas. So one of the first things Obama does when he gets in is says, forget this. We're not going to ban money and funding for family planning for our U.S. citizens that are overseas.
Yeah.
They're still going to be able to plan, either plan for families, or we're going to talk to them about abortions and even perform abortions for them if they want them.
Yeah, I don't know. Does the government really need to be paying for people to have abortions? I might have to side with the religious nuts here. I'm all for the freedom of choice, but
If you don't pay for abortions, where are they going to get their abortions? Because they're going to get
them. They get a fucking job and pay for them themselves.
Yeah, but they're not going to get a job. Let's say they don't have a job. They get pregnant. Do you want the state to pay for it now, where it's cheap? I'm telling you, it's cheap.
Or pay for it as welfare.
Or pay for it later. Well, welfare and prison.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What do you want to do?
Not all of them go to prison.
Not all of them do.
I don't know. I don't think it's the government's responsibility to make that choice, though.
Well, the government's not making the choice. It's just making it available.
Oh, I see.
And I'm getting my stuff from Freakonomics. So they couldn't figure out why the crime rate dropped during Clinton's...
Right.
It just dropped right off the map. And they're like, well, what happened? Crime was going up every year, and then suddenly it just plummeted, and nobody could figure it out. And then somebody said, you know what? Roe v. Wade was 1973. Abortions became legal. And all these... potential criminals, that's why we're seeing this drop in crime rate, must have been aborted in 73 and after when abortion became an option. So in my opinion, Are you going to fund it now where it's inexpensive? Or are you going to fund it later where it becomes much more expensive? So in that regard, yeah, the government can go ahead and fund it. For people who can't afford it. There are people who can't afford it. So what are their options? Their options are to have the child and then get involved in the welfare system, which may lead to a life of crime. Or go to some back room and trade sex or drugs or whatever to get an abortion.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. I see that here from 70 to 73, abortion legalized, and then crime started rising up because just prior to that, these kids start, getting older.
Yes, kids get older,
they need,
John.
They need money.
It's very profound.
And they start leading a life of crime, supposedly. I'm not sure there's any hard evidence to support that, but...
You read Freakonomics,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, I did. They're just making a...
Correlation.
Correlation. It's
causation is still not confirmed.
Cause and effect, yeah.
Sounds like a good argument to me.
It works, I guess.
All right, anyway, the Vatican got their panties in a bunch, right? And they use the term arrogance. Barack Obama is arrogant.
But I don't see why that would be arrogant. He believes pretty much, it sounds like, how you look at it.
I tell you why they think it's arrogance. I'm going to tell you in their own words.
Tell me. Spit it out.
The arrogance of someone who believes they are right in signing a decree which will open the door to abortion and thus to the destruction of human life. Archbishop Reno Fischelelli was quoted as saying, Fischelelli is the president of the Pontifical Academy for Life, one of the number of so-called pontifical academies which are formed by or under the direction of the Holy See.
Holy Sepulcher.
The Holy See.
What is important to know is to know how to listen, John, without locking oneself into ideological visions with the arrogance of a person who, having the power, thinks they can decide on life and death.
Now, that is such an interesting quote because you can turn it around and point that quote at the Catholic Church, and it holds true for the Catholic Church. They fail to observe their own actions, but they're going to call Obama arrogant.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable to me.
That's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
If this is one of the first acts of President Obama, with all due respect, it seems to me that the path towards disappointment will have been very short.
You need to pray for the good Lord to protect America.
That's what you need to do, man.
That's what you need to do.
Pray for the good Lord to protect America.
So a man, it's coming from the Pope, right?
Yeah.
So the Pope speaks to God. So a guy who claims to speak to God accuses another man of arrogance is beyond
Maybe Obama speaks to God, too.
Well, he hasn't said that yet. Now, the W did. The W's talk to God all the time. Look where that got us.
Yeah. I think when you brag about it, you're really not talking to God.
So
if you got to brag about it.
So you think that some people really do talk to God?
Yeah, could be.
Other than us?
Could be.
Because we've had them on the show.
Yeah. We don't brag about... Well, okay, we do a little bit. But we have proof.
Well, here's the... For me, my opinion... I mean, you and I, John, we live in the real fucking world, okay?
That's right, man.
We don't live in some fantasy land. We're a virgin.
Nonsense.
We're a virgin without sin, gave birth to God's son.
And that's the truth.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this doesn't mean anything to us.
I hear you, brother. Testify.
But for them to call our president arrogant, I mean, that's like Limbaugh saying he's going to fail.
No doubt.
No doubt, John.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
I like how he plays a little tambourine when he says it.
No doubt.
Now here, I'm going to agree with the Pope. I disagree with the first. I'm going to agree with him here. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
A sphincter says what?
In front of 150 million people, the Pope said this. Here's what he said, John.
I just blew snot right into my ice.
Oh. Here's what the Pope said. And we talked about this earlier in the show.
If the desire for virtual connectedness becomes obsessive, it may in fact function to isolate individuals from real social interaction.
You know what that means?
No.
Okay, think of the interwebs.
Yeah.
When I read this quote to you again, think of like Facebook and MySpace and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, Match.com.
If the desire for virtual connectedness becomes obsessive, it may in fact function to isolate individuals from real social interaction.
You got it now?
Yeah, but...
So people can live their entire lives on the internet without having real social interaction, where you actually walk up to somebody and have a conversation and you can smell them and see them and eat with them and whatever.
I doubt that'll ever happen.
I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
I think humans thrive on contact.
Well, the story we had earlier, 20% of newlyweds met online.
So
the greatest percentage of newlyweds met online.
Yeah, but you can make the case that 20% of newlyweds back in 1905 met through their church. I mean, it's like...
Right.
So they were forced in this social group where everybody thought exactly the same, and, oh my God, that's the way it's going to be from now on. So it evolves. I mean, just as that evolved into something else, this too shall evolve into something else. I'm sure... What's wrong with it? I'm sure it's a good thing. How do you know? What if they're happily married? What if they're better off because they met through that way rather than being through the Christian or any kind of religious organization where they meet that way and they have to have certain values? I had some people I knew that they met through their church, and the one guy got so involved in the church. And the wife started going, well, I'm not really that into it. I mean, I like going to church. I like participating. It's traditional. But you're like wanting us to pray every 5 minutes and do, you know, very Tom Cruise-ish like. And she was like, I really don't believe in it like you do. And he was so pissed off. Well, she ended up divorcing the guy.
There you go.
But, you know, meeting through the interwebs, you get some time to feel a person out before you actually talk to them.
I agree. I agree with that. Well, you know, right when you said that, and we talked about this earlier, you're connecting on an intellectual basis where you don't know this person. You haven't met this person. So there's no physical attractiveness.
Which can get in the way sometimes.
Which can make you dumb sometimes.
Yeah. exactly.
So
I'm going to go for broke here.
You're communicating on an intellectual level, and the physical attractiveness may not come later or at all. So I do think there's a value in that. But what I'm concerned of...
Pen pals? You know, I mean, there was that, too.
Yeah, there's pen pals. Yeah, I get it, right? So you're sharing, you're exchanging ideas. I'm all for that. I think the internet is great for that. I think it's great for the spread of education and ideas. But it also will isolate people, where people will no longer participate in real social interaction. They may participate 100% in virtual interaction. And what will that do to that person and those groups of people that no longer participate in a real social interaction? That's all I'm concerned about there, John. But I think you make a great point. You can meet online. It's probably better than meeting in person because you're really speaking... Well, again, I'm making assumptions.
It's different. I'm not saying that it's different. Better.
I would think it would be better, but again, I'm making assumptions. Who knows? Maybe when people meet online, they bullshit 99%.
And what is?
But eventually, you're going to have to back it up with something, right?
Yeah, but what's the point of this whole thing? The worry is that they won't get together and they won't procreate. Is that the worry of the Pope, of the papacy?
Of the papacy,
yeah.
To make more Catholics,
yeah,
they don't say what they're all worried about.
So what's the who cares? I mean, we know that survival of the species will endure. So the only way you can interface to make more for the species to survive is to actually meet. Otherwise, what's the point?
Going back to the Pope, you know, which I agreed with, isolate individuals from real social interaction. So I believe that there's an opportunity for individuals not to socially interact.
No, I think the problem is what he is worried about is that individuals will be just that, individuals, or they'll organize themselves into small groups. If you look at Facebook and that, there are some groups online. But they were still individuals, and like you said, they have an intellectual dialogue going on. What I think they're worried about is there will be no need for churches to bring people together to brainwash them.
I see. Very good. That's a very astute observation. That I didn't even think about that. So what is their motivation for even making this statement? Their motivation for making the statement is, hey, forget the on lives and the interwebs. What did I just say?
On lives.
You got to be a member of the church, for Christ's sakes. No pun intended.
For cripe's sakes.
Oh, that reminds
damn
me.
It.
I don't visit my Facebook account that often.
Yeah.
But I did a couple days ago. My two cousins, and I don't know if this is a joke or not.
Yeah.
But there's a group out there. They're called Bush Supporters. There's only like 11,000 people in this group, and they join the group.
It's not a joke, man. It's for real.
I can't imagine that would be for real. I'm going to see them next weekend, and I'm going to ask them. Come on, that was a joke, right?
Get him on the
show.
You were
joking, right? He'll be in on Saturday.
Nice.
I mean, if we did a Saturday show, he could probably be here. But
yeah, we were supposed to play with Volpe at the Cubby Bear.
Yeah,
you know, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ripper's Band is opening up for
You're
them.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
He chose Ripper's Band over us. You know why? I know why.
Maybe I didn't get back to him.
Makes perfect
though.
Sense to me.
Why?
Ripper non-threatening.
That could
AKC,
be.
AKC more threatening.
Well, we had that gig once at
Dirty
the,
Nellies.
Dirty Nellies, and we played in between their sets, and we stole the show, man. No doubt. Hands down.
Right.
Hands down.
So he's afraid. He's afraid.
I don't.
That's what
I
it
doubt
is, man.
That.
He's afraid.
He's just scared.
He's afraid. All right, turning to email, John.
Yeah.
Email, I got this one from Way of the Bob. Way of the Bob sent us a story about a man who refuses to drive the No God bus. You remember these? The No God buses?
Yeah.
So Richard Dawkins and some atheists got some money together and they put some signs on buses. But this Christian bus driver shows up to work, and they're like, okay, get in your bus, start driving. And he saw the sign that says there's probably no God, and he said, yeah, I'm not driving that bus. Ron Heather of Southampton, Hampshire, responded with shock and horror at the message and walked out in protest. First Bus said they'd do everything in their power to ensure Mr. Heather does not have to drive those buses. So they're going to make sure that if he has to drive a bus, he doesn't have to drive one with that sign on it.
Oh, fire his ass.
He told BBC Radio, I was about to board, and there it was staring at me in the face. My first reaction was shock and horror.
There's people that refuse to drive buses that say anything about God.
I felt that I could not drive this bus. I told my managers, and they said they haven't got another one, and I thought I'd better go home, so I did. When he returned to work on Monday, he was called into a meeting with managers and agreed to go back to work with the promise He would only have to drive the buses if there were no others available.
Oh, my God.
So they're going to go out of their way to make sure that he doesn't drive a bus that says there is no God.
That is fucked up. The guy who's paying for that sign is paying his fucking salary.
Yeah, that's the thing. And who knows if they if he's diabetic and they put a Snickers ad on, is the guy going to be able to say, no, I don't want to drive that? Forget it. I'm in shock. I'm in horror. It's horror. And what does that say about his faith?
Yeah.
That he can't drive a bus with that sign on it.
Yeah.
Is that going to, what? Is that going to tarnish his faith?
Automatically, God doesn't exist in that bus. He's afraid that he crashes, he's going to hell. That could be, yeah.
Well, I really wonder what the reason is. Yeah. Is it that? Is it that? That if I drive this bus, God will spite me? Smite me? And all the passengers will all burst into flames?
I don't know. I got an email, too.
Where does it end, John?
I don't know.
You know? Like you said, is there an atheist that will refuse to drive a bus with the message of God on it?
I hope so.
I certainly hope so. And I certainly hope that management makes the same bullshit moves they made with this asshole. Yeah.
No doubt.
You don't want to drive a bus, find another fucking job.
Yeah.
That's your job. No. Get in the bus and drive it.
No doubt.
It's unbelievable to me.
No doubt.
You got some email, John? I got one more
email. Yeah, I got one from Mike. Mike Busser. He says,
wow.
Hey,
that's a nice segue.
Hey, John and Scott. What?
Well, we were talking about buses, and then he's a busser.
Hey, John and Scott, I've been listening to the show from the beginning. I love you guys. I am an atheist. Hate George Bush and agree with just about everything you guys talk about. I'd like to hear what he doesn't agree with. That would be interesting to me.
That would be.
I tell all my friends about the show and try to get them to listen. My favorite show is episode 121 with Stephen Hawking. And then he goes on to say he's looking for episodes 87 through 111. Is there a way we can help him out with that?
Of course there is, John.
All right.
That information is available in the forum, of course.
Somebody
figured that out already. But if you go to Total Talk Nonsense /audio/pod.
/, isn't it?
Whatever the slash is. I don't know if they're forward or backward. you'll get a listing of all the shows from number 1 through number 158.
Wow.
That's right, John.
It's valuable information right there.
Some of our listeners even know of that, and they know to go there before we even post the show.
Yeah.
Because we upload the show before we index it.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's sitting there for a day or two, and they go to the forum and they say, hey, I've already got it. Here it is. And they post it online.
Are we doing emails and comments?
I have one more email.
Oh, okay.
I do. Yes. This one is from Mark Chiarello, the comic book Chiarello.
Ah, nice.
This is not through email, John. This is through Facebook. And I have to say that if you really want to get a hold of us, yeah, do it through Facebook. Because when I go, like Anonymous Glenn started complaining that I wasn't getting his emails. So I checked on it, and yes, I wasn't getting them. They were being picked up by a spam filter. So let's say we get 100 emails. 90% are spam. 10 are emails for us. Of those 10, only 5 get through. And the other 5, who knows what the fuck happens to those things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you want a guarantee to get a hold of us, either call our hotline, John. What's that number?
847-TTN-GIZD.
TTNJizz.
847-886-4493.
And leave a message, or you take the route that Mark Chiarello took, and you get a hold of me in Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Here's what he says. subject, thought you might dig this quote. From one of my heroes.
Shit.
You all right in there?
My chair.
Is everything okay?
Noise. I don't know what happened.
From one of my heroes, Nikola Tesla.
Ah, yeah.
The most brilliant man ever to walk the earth. Nikola Tesla. Yeah. The most brilliant man to ever walk the earth. In regards to your boy Einstein's theory of relativity. Here's what he said. Tesla. A magnificent mathematician garb which fascinates, dazzles, and makes people blind to the underlying errors. The theory is like a beggar clothed in purple whom arrogant people take for a king. You see, Einstein was punk ass. That's what Mark Chiarello says.
Nice.
P.S. Tell John for me that his box of comics is finally on its way.
Oh, excellent.
All right, so I'm really excited. I knew a little bit about Nikolai Tesla. Nikola Tesla. First from that wonderful movie with Christian
yeah.
Bale.
Yeah, that's your point of reference.
What was that called? I can't remember. Anyway, Tesla, as we all know, invented the radio, and Marconi gets credit for it.
Yeah.
Which
and
is a joke.
Alternating current, my
and
friend.
Alternating current.
The reason why we're doing this,
that's
how
right.
we can do this.
Well, yeah. So he worked for Edison, didn't he? And he said, "Hey, Edison man, I got this. We got to go alternating current." And Edison was so dumb.
No, I don't think they worked for each other.
I think they did.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know?
And I think he said to Edison, "Hey, we got to go alternating current." And Edison said, "Forget that. Fuck that." So that's when they broke relationships. And that's when Westinghouse picked up Tesla and they made alternating current.
Ah.
There you have it.
I've never read that, but I can't confirm either way. I don't
you can't confirm or deny.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're making an all-out claim. That
I'm making a claim that he invented radio. Yeah, you're going to... No. Push back
he invented
on that?
Radio. Yeah, I know he invented radio.
Okay, so what do you?
You said
what's
he
the
worked
problem?
For Edison. He worked for Edison.
He was he worked for Edison one time. That's what I'm saying.
How do you know?
I just know these things. Okay,
yeah,
I read.
Right.
I'm a prolific reader.
Just like you thought.
I absorb all
Charles
this information.
Heston was Jewish.
So I researched Tesla, specifically Tesla and Einstein, to see what else he had to say about Einstein, because this fascinated me, of course. Hitting up on my man Einstein, trying to make my man Einstein a punk ass.
Yeah.
When he was 81, Tesla stated he had completed a dynamic theory of gravity. He stated that it was worked out in all details and that he hoped to soon give it to the world. The theory was never published.
Published? Read that again. What?
The theory was never published. So he said, hey, you know what? I got the dynamic theory of gravity. Einstein doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But his theory, Tesla's, was never published. The bulk of the theory was developed between 1892 and 1894. See, what's interesting to me about that already is Einstein came out with his theory in 1905.
Yeah.
So apparently Tesla predated Einstein, but he never published anything.
Ah.
It was during a period that he was conducting experiments with high frequency and high potential electromagnetism and patenting devices for their use. Reminiscent of Mach's principle, Tesla stated in 1925 that with the help of Rudyr Boskovic's book, Theoria Philosophia Naturalis, that sits in front of a spiral coil of his high-frequency transformer at East Hudson Street, New York. Here's what he had to say. And I think it's a good argument of why Tesla remains a mystery today. Are you ready for what he had to say?
Yeah.
There is no thing endowed with life from man who is enslaving the elements to the nimblest creature in all of the world that does not sway in its turn. Whenever action is born from force, though it be infinitesimal, the cosmic balance is upset and the universal motion results. All right. So if anybody can make sense of what Nikola Tesla just said, please let me know. Because I've read that thing 400 times and I still don't know what he's saying.
Because you're dumb, okay?
Yes. Obviously, it goes right over my head.
Yeah. Get with it. Get used to it.
Tesla was critical of Einstein's work, and we read that quote that Mark sent us.
Oh, and it does say he did work for Edison.
Thank you, John. Yeah. Thank you for validating. It's kind of redundant, you know, because whatever I
whatever.
Say is you can take it for fact.
He worked night and day for Edison.
That's right.
Yeah. and inquired about payment for his work, and Edison replied, "Tesla, you don't understand our American humor." Thus breaking his word and earning only $18 a week, who he should have actually earned $25 or something like that.
So the other thing about Tesla and Einstein.
Oh, he was offered $50,000 if he redesigned Edison's insufficient motor and generators, and he did.
There you have it. Who offered him that money?
Edison.
Edison offered him $50,000?
Then he said, "I was just joking." What a dick.
Yeah, Edison was a douche. So another thing. So Einstein, he never really thought relativity was, he thought it was a joke. And he said, he went on to say, its exponents are brilliant men, but they are metaphysicists rather than scientists. See, now I would apply that to string theorists today. They are metaphysicists. They're not real scientists because you can't test what they're saying. But general relativity, you can test. Tesla, okay? And they have been tested, and the theory's held up for more than 100 years. Tesla, okay? Now get this.
So why was Einstein trying to disprove his theory on his deathbed?
Einstein was trying to prove who's
disprove his own theory.
Einstein?
Yeah.
What do you mean he was trying to disprove it?
Yeah, I saw some show recently that he was having problems with his theory because it had something to do with it was taking away God or something.
And no, that's a bunch of crap. That's a show put on by Christians because Einstein was an atheist.
He was not an atheist.
He was an atheist.
He was not.
He was.
He was not.
Was.
He wasn't.
I'll bring in my evidence next week, and we can debate that next week.
He listened to some kid playing a violin or something, and he said, because the sounds that this kid is creating and the talent he had, there must be a God.
Yeah, okay. You bring your evidence, I'll bring mine. We'll debate it next week.
All right.
Now, here is where Tesla really screws up, okay?
I have no horse in this fight, you know, in this race. You do. Dog in this fight. You do. You're just so in love
with
Edison that...
Edison, yeah. Edison, I really love Edison.
Einstein.
Edison is the guy I love.
Einstein, that you can't you can't even be objective about it at all. There's
sure
no
I
way.
Sure I can. I'll bring
like
in my evidence.
You're like
you bring
your
in your evidence.
That loves Bush, man.
Hey, I love Bush. Yeah. If you bring in evidence that's more overwhelming than mine, I will change my opinion. And there you have it about the atheist thing. Tesla also argued, "I hold that space cannot be curved, as general relativity states, for the simple reason that it can have no properties. It might as well be said that God has properties. He has not, but only attributes, and these are of our own making." Now, would you say Tesla's an atheist?
Can we get on with the show?
Because I hear people
are really bored by your ramblings
would
of fucking physics.
Would you say Tesla is an atheist?
I don't know.
Based on what I just said.
Why do I care?
Based on what I just said.
I have no idea. No idea. I wouldn't even make that assumption.
Okay, so Tesla goes on to say that general relativity is a bunch of shit, right? Then he goes on to say, like right afterwards, that Albert Einstein's relativity theory had already been proposed by Rudolf Boscovich. So which one is it? Does relativity exist?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Or are you going to prop up your buddy, Rudolf Boscovich? You can't have it both ways. He says it doesn't exist, but you know what? If it does exist, my friend invented it 200 years earlier. So there. Meh. What's it going to be, Tesla? Huh? Tell me. Tesla. Well, he can't. He's no longer with us.
Yeah.
But which one is it?
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
There you have it. Science news, John.
Yeah.
Other science news.
Oh, here's what Albert Einstein says. "I believe in Spinoza's God, who reveals himself in the orderly harmony of what exists, not in a God who concerns himself with the fates and actions of human beings."
Yeah, there you go.
Atheist means no God. None. zero. Not Spinoza's. No God.
Didn't I tell you we would collect our evidence and debate next week?
Hey, I got to follow your fucking rules?
I don't have a PC in front of me.
Show?
You have a PC. Well, I don't have a PC.
Wait a minute.
You have the interwebs.
You said you got all the answers. Why should I?
When did I ever say I had all the answers?
When I said that are you sure, Edison, that Tesla worked for Edison?
I did say that.
And you said, oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
Was I right?
Yeah, you were right.
There you
go. Well, then you must be right about this, too. So let's hear it.
Well, I will bring in the evidence after
I
research it.
You're the expert on Einstein. I'm not.
I will.
I'm just saying I saw a show, and you know.
And then you looked some stuff up on the web.
Yeah.
Well,
where are you going to look it up in your fucking book?
On the
about
web,
Einstein.
I'm
going to
look it up on the
same
web.
Thing.
But I don't have the opportunity to look it up on the web right now.
I've offered that
you
many
see?
Times.
Right now,
just don't do it.
I can't look it up.
Well, you're an expert on Einstein. You should already know all this stuff.
I don't know his quotes word for word.
You probably have to make it up like you did about Charlton Heston not being a Jew, or being a Jew, rather.
Get your story straight, all
oh,
right?
Oh, I'm sorry. My story.
Yeah.
I'm not the one that's jerking off to Einstein all the time on this show.
How dare you?
And everybody going... Let's fast forward our iPod.
How dare you, Sam, jerking off. Don't jerk off to Einstein. Tell
no,
you that right
no,
now.
No, it's you jerk off to other men. Sorry.
In other science news, John.
Oh.
The discovery was made by Professor Gordon G. Gallup Jr. and his collaborators at the State University of New York. Gordon is one of the most creative, imaginative, and productive evolutionary psychologists who ever lived. You know what those are? Evolutionary psychologists?
Yeah.
What are they?
They look at stuff like behavior, whether it's innate, genetic, like, for instance,
well, what's the evolutionary reason that we behave the way we do?
What do you mean? What's the evolutionary reason?
What's the evolutionary motivation for the way we behave?
Selfishness. Survival of the species.
Yes. So, every behavior we have, they look at it from survival of the species.
Right.
Very well said. We need to be evolutionary psychologists, John. You know why? Because you can pretty much say whatever you want. There's no way to test it. And again, is it fall within science or not? But here's what Gordon G. Gallup says. The shape of the human penis, John, is quite distinct from what many other primate species have. In particular, the glands. You know what the glands is?
No.
The head. You know, the helmet of the human penis is shaped like a wedge. The diameter of the posterior glands is larger than the shaft and the coronal ridge, which rises at the interface.
In the animal world, it's rape.
Between the glands and the shaft. It is positioned perpendicular to the shaft as the picture
it's
indicates.
It's positioned, right? It's positioned.
Right. Okay. Now, why do you think it's shaped that way?
Yeah, for rape.
Because, for rape?
Yeah, to get that sucker in there right away. Wedge it in.
Oh, you mean so like it sticks?
Yeah.
So I like that theory. So you're saying 100,000 years ago, to procreate, we had to physically force ourselves on the opposite sex.
Yeah, there was no intimacy.
So once you got it in there, it was stuck.
Yeah.
Kind of like a dog.
Yeah.
In addition, the male human during copulation engages in repeated thrusting motions before he ejaculates. The combined effects of the particular shape of the penis and the repeated thrusting motions during intercourse is to draw, here's their reason, to draw foreign semen back away from the cervix. If the female copulated with more than one male within a short period of time, this would allow subsequent males to scoop out semen left by others before ejaculating. In other words, the human penis is a semen displacement device. It is designed and used to remove other men's semen from the cervix before the man ejaculates. You buy that?
That's great, yeah. Do I buy it?
Yeah, do you buy it?
I don't know.
You think that's a sound explanation?
Well, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah,
what? So we should just knock science from the podcast that we shouldn't do science news anymore. That's what you're saying.
That's up to you, man. But that doesn't really interest me at all. I don't care about a penis 100,000 years ago.
That's the one you have in your pants now.
Yeah, that's all I care about.
It's saying that females are, throughout history, are not, they're promiscuous. And that's why we have these things that we have. And this is why when we have intercourse, we have to thrust. Do you buy that? Do you buy that women are promiscuous? Basically, they're sluts.
Yeah.
Do you buy that?
I guess they would have to be in order to be the bearer of children, wouldn't they?
Not necessarily. Well, I don't buy it at all, and here's why. Of course, I didn't do any research.
Yeah, back in the lab with Scott.
But when a woman has intercourse and a man ejaculates inside the woman, how long does it take for that sperm to get up to the egg? How long?
I don't know. 45 minutes.
45 minutes? So she'd have to fuck somebody else within 45 minutes for this wedge theory to work. So what they're saying is back in the day, women were unbelievable hooers. They would fuck anything, anytime, any day, and they would have multiple partners within a 6-hour, 8-hour span. I don't buy it. That's why we need to become evolutionary psychologists. Because they just said, hey, you know, here's what I think the reason is. And they'll probably get some sort of award or something.
Yeah.
This, you can't test it. You can't do anything with it. It's just kind of backwards reverse engineering. That's what we got to do. That's what I'm going to do, John. Evolutionary psychologist. That's what I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's great, man.
Is that great?
Yeah. You get your physics papers written. You go to school for no reason. And you'll become a evolutionary psychologist.
Yeah.
Excellent. I see the roadmap is becoming clear.
And then a podcast that does science news will read about one of my theories and their podcast. And the co-host... The co-host will go, science.
Here's my problem with science or anything we do on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You go on forever about it.
How long should I spend?
43 minutes. No, you've been going on for 40 minutes about science.
Is that too much?
It's an hour 43 into the show. You've been going on for 43 minutes.
How long should I spend?
Well, you tell me. You want to cut the show down to like an hour. You were complaining last Wednesday.
No, it was just for the inauguration special.
No, we need
I thought we should only do an hour.
Last Sunday or whatever was. Oh, dude, man. We need to cut these down to like an hour and a half, man.
All right, let's make an effort to do that.
You got to time your stuff out.
Well, let's do it.
Do you got another science story?
No, I don't have any more.
I bet you do.
I don't.
What do you got next?
Politics.
Nice.
Nice.
I don't have any politics music.
You got any politics?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a little. I got a little something here.
A little something something?
Yeah. Let's see. What do I have? I have President Barack Obama won approval from 68% of Americans in his first 3 days on the job, emerging at the high end of ratings for the last 8 first-term predecessors, according to a Gallup poll. The 68% rating compares with 12% who said they disapproved of the job Obama has done and 21% who had no opinion, Gallup reported today on its website. The telephone survey of 1,591 adults nationwide was conducted January 21st through the 23rd. And basically, they're saying it's the highest since Kennedy.
I would love to hear the 12% and why they disapprove.
Let's see. It doesn't say.
The guy's making his presidency unbelievably transparent. He's opening the doors to the White House. He's saying, here's all the shit that happens. Unless it's top secret, you know, we're going to let you know what's going on. We're going to let you know how these decisions were made, what we based it on, and it's completely transparent. It's a complete turnaround from the last 8 years. So who can be upset with that other than Rush Limbaugh, who wants to see him fail?
Right.
Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, and what does Rush have to say about it?
Want this to work. So I'm thinking of replying to the guys. Okay, I'll send you a response, but I don't need 400 words. I need four. I hope he fails.
And he's talking about Barack Obama.
Yeah, that's, you know, and when you think about that, what...
That's to say, I hope America fails.
Right, I hope America fails, because if he fails, America fails. Now, when the W was in office, I hope that he didn't fail, but he failed miserably early on.
And we talked about it.
Well, how could he not fail? Well, if he made a decision and he did the George Costanza thing and then did the opposite of what he decided, he would probably be pretty successful. But he didn't take our advice, and he kept failing. So, yeah, we don't want him to fail. But when you got the W in office, I mean, really, it is the new definition for failure. The guy's entire life is a fucking failure. Fail. He failed. I'm proud of my country. I don't want to see my country fail.
No.
So I'm glad that somebody else is in charge. I don't care who. Well, I wouldn't want McCain in there because the guy would kick and then Palin would be in charge and we'd be looking at a massive fail. 10 times what the W, in my opinion, did. But we got somebody in there who actually thinks about things, right? He doesn't think from the gut. He thinks about things. He brings in people. They talk.
Yeah.
They discuss. They exchange ideas. He makes a decision. In the first fucking 3 days, he's done more than W did in probably 8 years. Well, invading Iraq, I mean, that's a pretty big undertaking.
Yeah.
He's putting the nation ethically and morally back on the right track. Hey, we're going to close down Gitmo. We're going to...
Bonk?
We're going to close down Gitmo?
You said my last name.
When?
Never mind.
Just now?
Yeah.
My whole train of thought is lost.
Sorry.
Now.
Yeah, total talk nonsense, man.
Yeah. So I want to know what these 12% are disapproving of. So what basically it is 12% of the nation is racist? They're still holding on to the he's a black guy? Is that why they disapprove?
I don't know. Who knows? Could be anything. But I did hear of a person my wife was conversing with that who had said, this is, you know, probably not good that he's in office and there's going to be issues and there's going to be a lot of things going the black's way. And I was like, what? What do you mean?
Like, for example, what could go the black's way?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
The uh-huh. Yeah. Well, she doesn't engage in debate. I don't know why. And stuff like that. But, yeah, she was trying to keep the peace. If it were me, though, I'd well, why do you say that? You got some examples? So, yeah, there might be a mentality out there that... Well, there is. I'm sure there is. It sounds to me evident that there is that mentality. So what do you got here? You got some clips.
Oh, I brought some other W clips in that we didn't play last week that I thought were good W clips. I brought some clips in W there.
Oh, they're not for this show.
Yeah, they're for the show.
Oh.
Go ahead and I think I brought three of them in.
Yeah.
W. Yeah. With the W. Some more W.
before. So when you say that you want the U.S. to adhere to international and U.S. laws, that's not very comforting. This is a moral question. Is torture ever justified?
Look, I'm going to say it one more time. If I could, maybe I can be more clear. The instructions went out to our people to adhere to law. That ought to comfort you. We're a nation of law. We adhere to laws. We have laws on the books. You might look at those laws, and that might provide comfort for you. And those were the instructions from me to the government.
Yeah, when I look at laws, they provide comfort for me.
It's so comfortable.
Don't they? I like at the beginning. Hey, look. Hey. Dumbass. Here's two more.
Second one.
I'm honored to shake the hand of a brave Iraqi citizen who had his hand cut off by Saddam Hussein.
With
six other Iraqi citizens as well who suffered the same fate. They are examples of the brutality of the tyrant.
Brutality. So when he shook his hand, was it detached? I mean, did they... Which hand was he shaking? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, right. A hook? Then he should have said, I'm honored to shake
the hook. Not the hand.
The man who had a hand severed by...
I'm honored to shake the prosthetic thing. That this guy has.
The stump of the man with no hand.
After all, he claimed he invented the internet. But if he's so smart, how come every internet address begins with W?
Actually, it's HTTP. W!
I think he was talking about Gore, right? That must have been in the 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're going to miss him.
So I have some other clips.
Fox.
I need to retrieve from the W. Like my favorite W clip. We've played it, but we got to play that one again. It's great. It's a little longer. I'll track that down and bring that in next week. So next week we got, we're going to have the Darwin Awards for 2008.
Right.
We're going to have some more W clips. We're going to have predictions. We're going to check on Pat Robertson, his predictions for 2008 and how that went, and Sylvia Brown, how her predictions went, John.
Nice.
Check on that all in episode 159.
Nice. You had another clip, Fox.
Fox. Oh, that was celebrity. We didn't even do celebrity news, but let's go ahead. And here's Megan Fox. Do you know who that is, John? Megan Fox.
No.
You don't know who that is?
I don't
think
so.
You see Transformers?
Oh, yeah.
And
her, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think of Megan Fox? You think she's attractive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She does not think that, and we'll hear that in this clip.
From a hot man to one of the hottest women in the business right now, Megan Fox with me now. Why do you shake your head?
Because I'm pretty sure I'm a doppelganger for Alan Alda.
Oh, God. Out of here.
I'm a tranny.
There is
You
do not look in the mirror and not think you're beautiful. Don't even.
No, I'm so painfully insecure. Like, I'm on the verge of vomiting right now. I'm so horrified that I'm here and embarrassed. I'm scared.
Is this your first time here?
Yeah, it's my first time.
I love you're watching the monitor. You're looking at Selma Hayek going, God, look how gorgeous she is. Have you looked at yourself lately?
I really want her boobs. Those are the most amazing boobs. Perfect.
Okay. You want her boobs, I want your boobs. So we're all even.
All right, we'll trade.
Oh, nice.
I don't know what the interviewer looked like.
Doppelganger for Alan Alda.
Now, was she joking? Was Megan Fox joking about...
I don't know.
...what she thinks of herself? If she wasn't joking, if she is
insecure... I'm sure she was making light of the focus on her. She's like, oh, no, I don't think so. I'm ready to vomit. Yeah, I don't think that's true.
You don't think that's true?
No, I think she was making, hay out of the fact that this person was starstruck with her and thought, I'm just a regular person.
Here's why I think it's true. I'm going to give you three words why I think it's true that she's insecure.
Yeah.
And Shakir, John. You ready?
Yeah.
Brian Austin Green.
Who's that?
That's her boyfriend.
Oh.
Guy from 90210.
You spend a lot of time on the celebrities, man.
Everybody knows that. Everybody okay. knows she's going out with Brian Austin Green. Come on, man.
What do you subscribe to? People, Us magazine. Oh,
no.
Premiere. I forgot.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody.
Come on. Even my daughter knows
I
that.
I don't know that.
Brian Austin Green. Right. So if I can believe that she's that insecure, that explains to me why she's going out with Brian Austin Green.
Okay.
It makes sense now.
That why?
Puzzled, it puzzled me before. Why would
what's wrong with Brian Austin Green
from 90210?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's like our age. Not very talented. You know, Megan Fox type of stature. She's like 22.
So.
So.
Maybe she likes older men.
Well, it makes me lean towards the yes, she really is insecure.
I don't know how that makes any sense.
If she's insecure, then a Brian Austin Green, who is not at her status, she's an A-list celebrity.
What status is that? What status?
A-list celebrity, right? Yeah. Brian Austin Green, what is he, D-list, E-list now?
So you're saying that her attraction to other people dictates what her level of self-esteem is.
Yes.
Oh, that's
what I'm saying.
That's a bunch of shit.
That's what I'm saying. Why is that a bunch of shit?
Well, why would it be?
Why would it?
Yeah, status. What is that? That doesn't make sense to me. She couldn't be attracted to this guy any other way?
Let me give you another D-level celebrity, Andy Dick. Do you envision a Megan Fox with an Andy Dick?
I have no idea.
No, you don't.
I have no idea. I could see her with whoever she wants to be with. I don't know why that dictates a person's level of security within themselves.
Oh, I do. I can see that.
Why?
Insecurity, not security.
Why do you say that?
Well, security, insecurity. I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
So she'd have to sit saying, okay, I'm so goddamn beautiful that this Brian Austin Green is not as good looking as me. There's no way I'd go for this guy. I would go for somebody who's fucking stupider and much better looking. Is that what your point is?
That is not my
point. It's all about the look or what?
Well, first of all, you made an assumption about Brian Austin Green's intelligence, which we have no idea what his intelligence
right.
is.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
So I'm talking about more
you're
like...
You're going purely on looks alone. Purely.
No, I'm not going on looks.
Well, what are you going on? What's
I mentioned
basis?
That she's A-list celebrity. Brian Austin Green is D-list celebrity.
So what?
They're in two... Like, if you look at a Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt's with Jennifer Aniston. That's A-list. He's A-list.
Yeah.
He ends up with Angelina Jolie. That's A-list. Okay, that makes sense to me. Right?
But how is that a level of self-esteem? I still don't get it.
The level of self-esteem is she's A-list and she's with a D-list celebrity.
But Angelina was happened to be she went with what's his fucking face?
Yeah, but that was before she won the Oscar. Once she won the Oscar, she was A-list. Now she's Brad she falls into Brad Pitt's range of people that he can hang out with.
That still doesn't...
You know what I'm saying?
Your theory is still not...
Gwen Stefani.
Shit.
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
Who is she with? She's with another A-list musician.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name?
I don't know.
He's from some band. They don't do anything anymore.
Dude,
really.
I don't spend that much time on stuff like this. You know, I got family and stuff to do.
But
you know?
it mirrors the social impact of all society.
Does it, or are these people thinking, well, you know what, I'm going to hook up with this person because it's going to catapult my career?
So
not because I'm really attracted to them. It's just if they're A-list. That means I'm in the door. I got the foot in the door. Like Jim Carrey, who was a complete whack job, and he was going out with that one chick who was A-list for a long time. And she showed him the ropes.
Who, the redhead?
I don't know who the fuck it was. Before,
now he's with Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, before her. Yeah, McCarthy's a has-been. What has she been in? She was in Playboy. That's
it. B-list. B-list.
Yeah.
Playboy status always gets you up in an A, though.
Whatever, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Whatever. But that'll be your next paper, I guess, right? Take that to class. There you go. There's a class project for you.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of crap.
All I'm saying is that I can see why Megan Fox would be going out with a Brian Austin Green if she had insecurities.
Oh, my God. Okay. You're right.
I mean, she thinks she looks like Alan Alda.
Yeah.
If you think you look like Alan Alda, let's say Brad Pitt was available, would you even approach a Brad
all right,
Pitt?
First of all, no. What?
I look like Alan Alda. I'm not going to approach Brad Pitt. I'm going to go out with Brian Austin Green.
Okay, can I talk here, or is
yes,
this you're just going to keep yapping like usual? I think all actresses and actors are insecure, and they're narcissists.
And they all have the same level of insecurity.
No, I don't know that. I have no idea, but I'm sure they're all very insecure.
All right, then.
Some have a high level of narcissism. They feed off of the, tell me how great I am, how great I am. I need these award shows. I need them. Oh, am I going to win the Oscar? Oh, the Academy loves me. You like me.
You really like me.
You really like me. Oh, yay. I need to be liked.
Doesn't everybody need to be liked? I think that I'm quoting the great Zach. Yeah.
A real person.
Oh. We all need to be liked, like to be liked. Maybe he just likes to be liked. I think he was talking about Kevin Burns.
Yeah.
When he said that.
All right.
All right, then. That's all I have.
Is that it?
Celebrity news.
Celebrity news. I got Obama
we
fisting.
We talk to our partner about, you know, who's going to do the errands and pick up the kids and make dinner. But we also need to sit down every single day and talk to them about the real things in life, our thoughts and dreams.
Yeah.
We also need to be affectionate. And you can see that with Barack and Michelle as mm-hmm. well. They do a lot of touching, kissing, even fisting with one another.
Even fisting with one another.
How would she know that?
I don't know. The same way you know that Megan Fox is insecure, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know that. I'm proposing that.
Oh.
You see?
Oh, so you have an opinion.
Yes, I have an opinion.
It, like an asshole. Everybody has one.
Right. That's what this show, why don't we call it Total Talk Assholes?
There you go.
Because we have opinions.
There you go. I disagree. That's all. Why? How? Oh, give me your proof. I have none.
It's called an exchange of ideas.
But they should amount to something, don't you think?
For who?
You know, solve a real problem.
Give me a real problem.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Next week. Next
give me
week,
an example.
I'll give you a real
of a
problem.
Real problem.
Yeah, you know, like alternative fuels.
Alternative
example.
Fuels.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about that?
Sounds great.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's all you got?
That's it. That's
Phil's
all I got.
Phil's not coming tonight?
No Phil tonight.
All right. That's it. Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott. Episode 158.
We're out of here.
Yeah, queers.
You're listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.